Goodbye from me, Peter Frey. And
goodbye from me, Wan Ying Sang.
Join me on Saturdays from 8 p.m. for Keeping Score. My name is Leah, and each week we'll unravel the soundtracks and musical scores from some of our favourite movies. The soundtrack to your Saturday night. Keeping Score on 2SCR 107.3.
And now it's time for Stages.
All the world's a stage.
It's where we talk about,
All things
theatrical.
It's about theatre.
Theatre makers.
If it's performing on a stage, we've got it for you here on Stages.
It's about half an hour long.
Okay, let's get on with the show.
Yes, and welcome to your theatre news and all reviews and things going on. I'm Regina in the studio with me, the lovely.
Oh, hi, it's lovely. Trisha Starrs here.
Hi, Trish.
Glad to be here. And I'm CL, hello.
Hi, great show coming up. A little later, we'll have Glenn Falkenstein, the one and only from Film Fight Club, to give us a review of Alice in Slasherland.
And I'll be talking about Batch, the wonderful festival that's currently showing at the Griffin Theatre, and a little bit of a talk about the play Ajax, which is on at the old 505 in Newtown.
Plus, we're looking at a brand new production of Animal Farm, the George Orwell classic, a one-man show. How is that going to work?
Yeah. I can't wait. I can't wait for that. And also Fiona Winning from the Sydney Opera House will be talking about another festival that's going on, Festival Unwrapped, which is at the Opera House. So much theatre to see and get out and do and that stuff. So stick around.
If music be the food of love, play on.
Soundtrack your Thursday night on 2SER from 8 p.m. with the freshest indie sounds and a whole lot more on Static.
Followed at 10 p.m. by all Australian music on The Band Next Door. Thursday night music from 8 p.m. on 2SER 107.3.
Now, playing until the 11th of May at the Griffin Theatre is the Batch Festival, and it's a three-week fiesta of the freshest, wildest and most innovative new shows in Sydney. Now, it starts with Caleb Lewis putting on a little history play, which brings together theatre, indie role-playing games, board games, design into glorious nights of revolution. There's also Lady Tabooli. On the night of his engagement party, Danny decides it's time to break it off. This isn't right or true. So this is a fantastic play put on by Apocalypse Theatre Company. Then there's Tales of an Afronaut, put on by the Melbourne-based poet Wani La Friere. And he transports the audience through the world of a third culture generation. That just sounds absolutely fantastic, playing for a couple of nights. And then there's Never Let Me Go, which chronicles the history of the AIDS epidemic in Sydney from the early 80s as gay community groups mobilised to save lives, and the Australian government fought religious dogma, moral crusaders and the fearful public. So it's got all that wonderful stuff in it. And then there's Savage Wild. Meet Savage, the wild woman or myth. And on late, they have Betty Grumble. I don't know if you've ever seen her, but she's presenting a cabaret show, Grumble and Friends. And she's got fantastic people with her, Steli G, Magana Holiday, Sarah Mahoney, and Krista Hughes. And then this all comes under Griffin Up Late, which is after the shows at 10 or 11 at night. So there's so much on at Griffin. Look it up, Google it, see what you want to go see. It's only running till the 11th of May.
It's such a responsibility to pretend I don't care what I see. Trying to fool you with this apathy. It better be working, 'cause it's exhausting me. Did she have to be my friend? What kind of message were you trying to send? And now she's sucking up to me instead. And now you have forced me to pretend. stranger. Maybe then I could let my anger show. But I adore her, that's the danger. So my misery, she will never know. You have turned my friend into a foe. And I wish that it wasn't so. Oh, it's such a responsibility. The kind of question she keeps asking me, yeah, about your shit that no one else has seen, expecting me to answer objectively. Oh, she's telling me details. I hide my nausea with each exhale, but my resentment is.
That was the beautiful Ella Haber. She is playing the Oxford Art Factory Thursday, 2nd of May. Her song Responsibility. Oh, I just love her voice.
And opening tonight at Riverside Theatre is a one-man show, Animal Farm, brought to you by the South Australian Theatre Company, with the wonderful Dale March playing all of the characters of this production. I can't wait to talk to him. We are talking about Dale March, who studied the Actors Centre. He's done STC, Removalist, Cyrano de Bergerac, The White Guard, and so many other things. Welcome to Stages, Dale.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Yes.
And I want to go and see the show of that amazing person who was just singing.
Yeah, yeah. Ella, yeah. She sounds beautiful, doesn't she?
What a voice. You'll just have to have a break from your show and run over. So,
good.
Animal Farm, one-man show, you are the voice of all of the characters. Oh, my God, how do you do it? How did this come about, I suppose? You know, who's written it? How have you taken what's in the novella, to the stage?
Yeah, so well, the masterwork has really been done by Geordie Brookman, who is the director and
director of Sydney of South Australian Theatre Company.
Yeah, he's just left artistic directorship. Mitchell Butel has taken over.
Yes,
which is glorious, of course. As sad as we are to see Geordie go,
or both wonderful.
yes, exactly, and. And so this is the last production that Geordie has directed for the company as artistic director. And it's, I think it's something of a jewel of his work. And I can only say that because the production was done with this exceptional actor, Renato Mussolino, in Adelaide. And so I am now bringing it here to Sydney and then on to Albury. But to answer your question, Geordie was the one who adapted Orwell's incredible novel, down to a rocket, 85 minutes or so, that you'll see on stage, and it's really very much true to the thread of Orwell's novel. There's no kind of cheeky changes like the CIA did when they decided that they would use it as propaganda against the Russians when they made their 1954 animated film.
Mm. So do you want to give the listeners a little idea about what we are talking about, the allegory of the farm as a, fable for the Russian Revolution and, what's actually happening, what's the story?
Yes, well, that it is really, for anyone who hasn't read the book, inspired by, I think... I like to preface this at least by saying that that there are always going to be enormous gaps in my knowledge. As an actor, I'm always cramming, very specific information into each show I do. I'm not a historian, but it seems that the two huge influences on Orwell were the Civil War in Spain that he took part in. So his experience of revolution there. And then, of course, as a, this is widely considered a critique on the Soviet rule in Russia. So the farm animals in the story Animal Farm, are inspired by the old boar on the farm, old Major, who is considered to represent Lenin. And he incites a revolution. The animals stand up against the humans, drive them off the farm, and they take over for themselves to form their own republic and their somewhat utopian ideals of, well, equality and good for all those wonderful things. But unfortunately, very quickly, things degenerate into unhealthy hierarchies, shall we say.
Power corrupts, I think it's kind of saying, isn't it, when the animals gain power, it corrupts them. Is that kind of a part of what Animal Farm is about?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the themes, for sure. It's hard to... people have differing ideas. It's hard to know exactly what Orwell really wanted to say about it, whether he's saying that this is an unavoidable tendency of societies to corrode into this sort of corruption of power.
And how do you actually act that out? I mean, how do you do scenes, you know, between the various animals? I know we're talking about the pigs and the major and even there's a human, I think, in the beginning. If it's a one-man show, how do you actually act out those scenes or different voices, or is it done in a monologue form?
Yeah, so there is a narrator's voice that carries the thread of things, sets things up and introduces people and all that sort of stuff, which is just as it is written in the novel. The conversations between characters are all there through vocal, physical changes and emotional choices that carry those different animals.
Oh, can you give us one of your animal voices? Oh, can you throw us into, you know, old Major or the Snowball or
Boxer?
Oh.
Well, Boxer is a beautiful old cart horse who is really determined to believe in the good of all creatures.
I'm crying already.
He is a very... I mean, Boxer is really the heart of the story, the emotional heart of the story, because he, despite all of his excellent intentions and his constant desire to believe that things can turn out all right... Oh, no, I shouldn't give it away. But
it all ends horribly. Yes. It all ends horribly for Boxer.
And do you find that it's still relevant? I mean, it's Animal Farm's a very, well, it was written straight after World War II, and now that we know what we know about Stalin's Russia, is it dated? Is it still shocking, or does it have a new spin on it?
So, the Palestinian Freedom Theatre, I forget the exact date, but they did a production of Animal Farm only a few years ago. The director was imprisoned and was then unable to leave the country for a year, I believe. Perhaps in our... I speak for myself in an incredibly... The seemingly safe environment that I live in South Australia, and my children are at a lovely school and all those things. It might feel, we might not be stirred to revolution by it, but I think anyone who is engaging with the ideas around the challenges of the various ideologies and polarization that's happening politically, it will always be relevant as long as there are human beings on the planet, because it is talking about these unavoidable themes of how society can really structure itself in such a way that it acknowledges the differences people have to offer, but is also taking care of everyone. I think you only need to read the book or listen to the show to, and I only need to to speak the words, to feel the volatility and the danger and the insight and the cynicism. It's all very much alive, if that answers your question.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that George Orwell is unfortunately still very relevant today.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, classic.
The whole,
classic.
You know, Big Brother, all of that, and Animal Farm. Definitely all animals are equal, but some are more equal than others, still definitely resonate today.
Yeah.
It's going to be fantastic. I can't wait to see you take on 20-plus characters. Amazing.
Yeah.
Dale
yeah.
March, thank you so much for joining us.
It is an absolute pleasure.
Animal Farm on between the 1st and the 3rd of May at the Lynx Theatre at Parramatta Riverside.
This is like a proper song with imagery and shit. Had to try one properly. So drink 'em up, kids. Smoke if you got 'em. Chow it down, Harry Ann. Hurry in soon. A wave that is broken beyond the barriers, and I'm just a clown blown in a ruffian balloon.
That was just a little taste of Suburban Bukowski's with frontman and Stages alumni, the gorgeous Benito. It's his 50th birthday.
Hey.
Happy birthday, Benito.
How old is he now?
50.
Yeah, you just said that. Playing at the Hollywood Hotel on Thursday evening. Get along and celebrate. Trish, what have you been to see?
I've been to see Ajax at the Old 505 in Newtown. This is after Sophocles by Robert Johnson and Jonathan Graffin. Now, this is says a real man either lives well or dies well. And what I liked about this production was that they did it in army fatigue. They kind of updated it, and because Ajax's wife spoke Arabic and he was kind of married to an Arab woman, and there was a lot of bilingual stuff in this play, they really sort of brought to life the metaphor or the parallel of people who suffer post-traumatic stress through war in Afghanistan, it looked like it was set. And I thought that was absolutely wonderful. And it made an old Greek tragedy relevant to today, which is, of course, what you have to do with these things. So I would say to anybody who wants to understand a little bit more about Greek mythology, get along and see this. It's running until the 4th of May at the Old 505 in Newtown. Fabulous, strong performances about the tragedy of Ajax, but, you know, really set in contemporary armies in Afghanistan. Fantastic theatre.
Two clowns in a cabinet, resting a letterpress. Three clowns in a taxi cab, humming this tune. Four clowns in a subway, sniffing for fingerprints of one fool quoting Baudelaire, and drunk on cheap goon from a sentient fridge in a room full of gelignite with a melancholy acrobat swinging from the harpoon of a smack-addled rabbi pining for Arafat through a Baptist mandala spelling out doom. So drink 'em up, kids, and smoke if you got 'em.
Well, it's time to talk about another festival, Festival Unwrapped. It's happening between the 3rd and the 19th of May, celebrating extraordinary Australian works. We're speaking to the festival director right now, the lovely Fiona Winning. Hello, Fiona.
How are you?
Fabulous. This looks amazing. There's so many things I want to go to. I don't know where to start.
Where did you start?
Right. Well, look, I guess the festival is, this festival is a small festival. It's a little festival that we love, because what we're actually trying to do here is bring together some fantastic works by independent artists where we think, and small companies, where we think an incredible array of really exciting new ideas is emerging. So this is five works by artists who are making work in different kind of contexts. So Ali McGregor making a work about Ima Sumac, this extraordinary Peruvian performer who was a mambo queen in Hollywood in the 50s and 60s, and had a very, very long and distinguished career, but also very patchy. And Ali actually kind of, it's like a love letter across time and oceans for this woman. It's because they both have five octave voices and incredible performance. So that's a music theatre piece. And then we've of course got William Yang's new piece, Party Verb. William Yang, many of your listeners will know, is very distinguished photographer, and this is one of his photography monologues, or, you know, so he speaks for about an hour with an incredible array of photographs of the queer underground party scene, and using the idea of party as activism, as the LGBTQI communities have successfully for so long in Sydney. So that's a really beautiful piece with Stereogamous doing the DJing, so Paul Mack and Johnny Seymour.
I love Paul Mack.
I know, they're fantastic. So that's going to be that's a beautiful piece. Both those shows are only on for a couple of nights. And then we have the incredible Genoa Jella, who's a Torres Strait mainlander. So she was brought up in Rockhampton, and her family's from the Torres Strait, and she learned an incredible, you know, she basically lived within culture even though she was living on the mainland. So her family were very, you know, kept up the cultural dance, and she had a kind of very eclectic and wonderful education, both culturally and in terms of a more mainstream kind of Australian experience, or non-Indigenous Australian experience. So she's an incredible performer and comedian and dancer. She's won choreographic and comedy awards. So this is her story, Mai Uruwai, and it's not a translatable word, Mai Uruwai. It's a Torres Strait Island word, and it's, you have to go and see it, because she talks about her incredible life as part of that show, and shares really, really interesting observations about Australia.
Yeah, and I like the fact that one's humorous. I think that's kind of a real plus, isn't it? Because, you know, I mean, sometimes we don't always see Indigenous stories as being so humorous, but there is a lot of fun and wonder in the Torres Strait, isn't there?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And she's a great storyteller. She's a really vivid storyteller. And some people will know her from Hot Brown Honey and all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And then Playlist is another really great piece, and that's by TYT Fairfield. And that's five young women who are basically kind of creating a song list for us. So it starts from the position, so it was directed by Karen Therese, and it starts from the position of kind of what are they listening to? And it's described as a feminist adrenaline rush, and it really is. It's just this fantastic, great group of women just sharing stuff, including their music and passions, and their opinions about feminism. They're really great.
What's exciting about this is kind of small to medium companies that are getting a chance to do their work at the Opera House.
Yeah, it is.
What a great idea. Really, this is only the second, incarnation of it, second year.
Yes, well, we did two small seasons last year, and we've decided to make it a bit bigger and to call it a festival. It's still the smallest festival in town, but we love the idea of being able to bring these works to the Opera House but both bring our audiences to these really eclectic and wonderful artists' work that our audiences might not otherwise find, but also to bring those artists into, you know, the Opera House and onto our stages, and kind of give them a bit more profile than they might not normally have. So, you know, and many of them are independent artists, and I just think, like, Lara Toms, who's doing a piece called The Director, which is with an ex-funeral director, is an extraordinary Melbourne-based artist. Now, this show was commissioned and was on at Arts House, but our audiences won't have seen her do this work. So it's a really great thing to both bring something like Playlist, which had a season in Fairfield, into the Opera House, but also to bring The Director up from Melbourne So all these works are happening in different places around Australia, but where, you know, this festival is an opportunity to kind of bring a few together and go, let's actually look at what people are doing. Mm. All of the works in this festival are also drawing on, to some extent, using different strategies to kind of talk about their art, the performers' lives. So even the director, which is Lara and Scott, the ex-funeral director, he's talking about his work, but Lara's talking about, you know, what it is to organise a funeral as somebody, you know, who's grieving and has never encountered the funeral industry before. And she talks about her, you know, organising the burial of both of her parents. So everybody in the works is kind of drawing on their own life in different ways. Mm. And I think that kind of sense of storytelling, even though they're all telling incredibly different, or using incredibly different ways to tell their stories, you know, Ali speaks about her love of Ema Sumac, but then actually performs Ema's, you know, songs. So they come at it from different directions, so
yep.
That's fantastic.
So many different shows, all of them fantastic. Check it out, sydneyoperahouse.com. Festival Unwrapped. It sounds fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us, Fiona.
Pleasure.
And we have the wonderful Glenn Falkenstein, who has been out to see Alice in Slasherland at the Old Fitz Theatre. Over to you, Glenn.
Alice in Slasherland is the latest from Redline Productions and the last one standing theatre company at the Old Fitz Hotel. It's about a group of teens who have to fight a demonic presence that invades their small town. Think Alice in Wonderland meets Buffy meets the reanimated stage musical. And just so you know, there are ponchos. If you're in the first two to three rows, you probably will get some splashback. It's entertaining with a few good, genuine scares. Some sequences wane due to being repetitive, but for the most part, it's genuine fun. There's actually a lot of momentum in this musical and show. The cliffhanger at the end of the first half isn't actually that great a one. It could all, by all means, just have gone through and powered on and kept up that momentum. The fight scenes are really great. There's a lot of good use of sleight of hand. The best sequence, which is one of the few that involve the whole cast, is a dance sequence set to Bonnie Tyler and her famous Total Eclipse of the Heart, which is nearly matched by this great visual gag of recurring full-suited zombies, some who come for scares and some who come just to clean up the blood on the floor. There's a great use of a car gag. It's staged in a very traditional way, which people might also remember fondly from old Hollywood flicks. Justin Amankwa, people might remember from the flick at the Seymour Center last year, is one of the best of the cast as a demonic teddy bear. I think Ted with a hell-bent grudge. And Laura Murphy is also really good as one of the demons. Most of the cast do take on multiple roles in this production, and it's a very welcome thing to see, given how talented a number of them are. The multiple levels of the stage is something that you don't often see in such a small space. It's actually less interesting set design than you typically get at the Old Fitz, which has very innovative use of its staging. The walls and the broad palette are actually kind of bland, excepting the use of the window, which is deployed once and very well at the beginning, though the intent behind the staging of the walls does become apparent later, but pretty late in the piece. All up, I'd recommend it. It's a good show, and it's playing at the Old Fitz until the 11th of May.
That was Glenn Falkenstein. He'll be up very shortly with Film Fight Club, so stick around. Sounds like a fun one.
After years of whispers, beloved Australian folk rock collective The Middle East reunite for two exclusive performances this May for Vivid Live. Leading the charge across two nights to celebrate Spunk Records' 20th anniversary, The Middle East will perform new music along with all your favourite songs. Joined each night by some of Spunk's finest acts. Book now for The Middle East with very special guests at Vivid Live. May 24 and 25 at sydneyoperahouse.com. Sponsors of 2SER.
Well, that's about all we've got time for. It's been a great show. I'm Regina.
I'm Tricia.
And I'm CL.
We've been Stages, and we'll be back next week. Stick around, as I said, for Film Fight Club. CL, what's this track?
Mark Wilkinson. He's playing Club York Saturday for the Bank.
Well, she ain't with me. No, not this time. The road is empty and it gently lets me fly. No destination, I'll just head north. The it's a little warmer. They're up the coast and I'm in no hurry now anyway. But I gotta go, I gotta leave, I just can't stay. I'll stop.